First John, chapter 1, we got all the way through verse 4. I realize we're doing it a little quickly, but, you know, that's the way you got to do it sometimes. All the way through verse 4. So let me just kind of remind you of what we've seen. We've seen right away, he begins to tackle false teaching, false teachers. So he starts out the letter that way. But verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. One of the reasons that he writes this to us as Christians, where he's writing to Christians now, one of the things is so that our joy could be full. We should be filled with joy. We shouldn't be miserable. Now, that doesn't mean everything is going our way. That doesn't mean everything is going all roses and rainbows and perfect. No, but it does mean that we, of all people, should be filled with joy. We've got a hope. We've got promises. We belong to the Lord. He's preparing a place for us. He loves you so much. He went to prepare a place for you. He's been working on it for 2,000 years. It's going to be nice. You got a hope. This isn't all there is. And so you say, man, it's terrible down here. Good. Just keep in mind, this isn't all there is. This is nothing compared to what's coming, to what's real, to what really counts. This is easy stuff. We just get overwhelmed by it sometime and forget that and let it bring us down. So he says, I want to write this to you so that your joy may be full, filled, overflowing. You and I overflow with something every day, don't we? Yes, we do. People have lately been telling me what I'm overflowing with. I don't think they might be right. But every one of us overflows with something. Now, either you're a spirit-filled Christian and you're overflowing with that joy and that the rivers of living water, or you're overflowing with what's filled in a spittoon. You ever seen inside of one of those? When you pour it out, it comes out in one lump. If you try to drink that, it's really hard. Getting sick? That's the way some people look at life. Everything's just negative, bad, and it's like drinking a spittoon. You can't quit swallowing. It's one big lump. And that's what they're full of. And notice, every one of us, life squeezes us and life shakes us. And so we overflow, don't we, with what we're full of. And that's what gets on people. What we're supposed to be overflowing with is joy and the rivers of living water. So that when life shakes you around and you spill over and overflow, what gets on them is living water and joy. It's contagious. That's what he wants for us. That's one of the reasons he wrote this letter. Now he goes on. Now that I've grossed you out to the max. Well, not yet. But we can. No. Verse 5 says, this then is the message. I write these things to you so you have joy. Here is the message then. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is what we heard from him. Him? Yeah, he started out by talking about him. Jesus Christ. That life was manifested. We have seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Remember in John chapter 1, and the Word was God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. And now he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him. This is what Jesus told us. This is what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? What's the message? God is light. That's the message Jesus told his disciples. That's the message now that John's passing on to you so that your joy can be full. Hey, God is light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Meaning, if you know, we use terms. God uses terms to help us understand him. Because we are puny things. We are little on this. You know, we're nothing. And the psalmist, recognizing that, says, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you take notice of him. You know, we are nothing. Oh, we don't think so, but we really are. In this, the whole scheme of the universe, you take a look at us, we're nothing. Our minds and our hearts, they're just too little to understand God. And so God, knowing how we're made, since He made us, He remembers we are flesh. God uses terms that our little minds can understand. And so John says, here's what Jesus told us. Here's the message. God is light. All right, you and I know what light is. It was sun out in your neighborhood today? You could look at it. Well, it hurt. Maybe you couldn't look long, but there's light. You know what light is. See, our minds are so finite that God has to find ways to give us a hand to help us. We still don't understand all that God... You know, for instance, you can go back and see that God says this, He is the bread of life. Now, you don't get a picture of a loaf of bread sitting on the throne. You know, this big Italian French bread thing or something, whatever. No, you know, God isn't saying I'm a loaf of bread. He's saying He's the food for life, the bread of life. And, you know, go back to the psalm, you can see that we can hide ourselves under the shadow of His wings. God is not a big chicken or a goose. But He's using terms that you and I can go, oh, yeah, that, I get that, wings. Yeah, I've seen the little chicks, how they, oh, okay, bread. That, I like, boy, the smell of fresh, oh, yeah, that keeps us alive. The bread of life, that's something you eat, and it sustains you. So God says, I am the bread of life. I can hide you under the shadow of my wings. Now, we read this, God is light. He's not a big loaf on the throne. Or a real big bird. He's God, and He's trying to help you and I understand something about Him. Because we can't get it. He's just too big for us. You know, in this letter, not just in chapter 1, but in this letter, we're going to learn that God is light. We've already seen that. That God is love. And that God is life. He's giving us ways to get a grasp, a little bit more of an understanding of God. The God that we worship, the God that we serve, the God of the universe, the God who has created all things. Because we can't see Him. See, no man shall see God and live. You can't. You just take a look at Him and say, all right, now I don't understand what you're all about. Let me see. Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. And God said, you can't. For no man shall see God and live. You can't do, you couldn't take it. God is light. Well, if that's the message, verse 5 says, that's the message. He says, this is the message we receive from Him, from Jesus. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Well, the... Yes, God is glorious and does glow. But what we're being told is that's a holiness. God is holy. God is righteous. So you could say God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Darkness would be the opposite of the holiness and the righteousness, which would be unholy and unrighteous. God in Him is none of that at all. If you're trying to get a grasp of God, you can't really get a picture. But if you're trying to understand Him, this one thing you know, God is holy and He is righteous. He is light. And there is no darkness in Him. There is no, not any, not one bit of unrighteousness in Him. Now, you and I can't understand that because there's more than just a bit of unrighteousness in us. We are born sinners. Your babies, cute as you might think they are selfish. And they'll show it to you as soon as you teach them what words to use. They'll start putting them together in sentences that you never taught them. Because that's our nature. Well, if we know that's the message from Jesus, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Then how is it possible for you and me, for us who we know we aren't light, we're not holiness, we're not righteous, and if God is those, and in him is no darkness at all, how is it possible that you and I, that mankind, could have fellowship with him? If he's that, how's it possible? Well, one choice would be to bring God down to our level, wouldn't it? If we want to have fellowship with him, one choice would be to bring him down to our level. That's what false teachers, many, do. They bring God down to a level where he's like us. The Gnostics were that way. The false teachers there in John's day. Just as today, many false teachers bring God down to our level. So it's all right. They bring the Lord down. Well, John says, see, in those days, people said Jesus wasn't God. He was a nice teacher, nice guy, great parable, storyteller, but not God, just as many people say today. John says, oh no, but wait, you're wrong. Here's the message from God. He is light, complete holiness, complete righteousness. You can't bring him down to our level so that we can deal with him. It can't be done. That's what false teachers try to do. False prophets. To bring God down so that we can deal with him. Well, your other choice is to get us up to the level, isn't it? If we can't bring him down, we have to somehow get up. Well, John says, you know, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. So we're not going to bring, John is destroying the teaching. We're not going to bring God down to our level. You start saying to God, all right, you better start answering my prayers. You better get with it. You heard me. That's bringing him down to your level. God is light. God is holiness. God is righteousness. It's not going to work. You can't have fellowship with him because in him is no darkness at all. So something has to happen to us. Obviously, not God's not going to change. Watch this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, we cannot bring God down to our level of existence here. God is light. Light is easy to understand. You know, in God is no darkness at all. He's light. And so you go home, wait till it gets dark, pick the darkest room in your house, go into that room, close the door, and leave the light off. And just look around. It's pretty dark. Then turn the light on. And tell me how quickly the darkness goes away. Does it, like a cloud, roll under the door? There it goes. I see the dark. No, it's gone. Well, except for shadows, because our light's imperfect. It's gone. Turn the light back off, and how quickly does the darkness come in? Slowly back under the door, step by step. No, how quickly does the darkness come? It's there now. You see, God is light, and so because of that, in him, there is no darkness at all. We can't bring him down. Whoa. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we are walking in darkness, he says we are liars. Because you cannot bring God down to your level. We can't bring him down. We're liars. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness. Liars. Pretty strong words, wouldn't you say? Might offend some, wouldn't you think? In Colorado Springs, one of my heroes came to town. And I had watched many of his videos. And I had listened to his radio program every day and listened to tape after tape. And I just loved this man. Never met him, but I planned to because he was coming to town. Walter Martin. Because he would speak on the various cults and the occult, and he just knew so well his Bible. He started the radio program, The Bible Answer Man. And he really was. He just knew. And there he was coming to town, and they were going to meet at some church. I had never been to that church, but I heard it on the radio, and so I'm there. And we go in there, and this place seats a few thousand people. It's a beautiful church. I don't know what it was, Methodist, or I don't know, but it was a church. And went inside there, and I got kind of close to the front. I thought, probably not going to get to meet him, but I could at least see him. And the place was full to standing room only. That was so neat. And he came out on the stage. I clapped. You know, the only one. I thought that was odd. And he was there to speak on, against Mormonism. And he made the statement, before he even prayed, he said, usually when I come to a city and I'm going to speak on Mormonism, usually many Mormons come. How many here are Mormons tonight? And all but maybe 100 of us raised their hands. I mean, this place with thousands in it was almost all Mormons. I'm near the front. No one's watching my back. I didn't know what Mormons do. What do they do? Do they do bad things to you? What? I didn't know. He says, there were over 1,000. And he says, well, okay, good. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you came out. And I just want to start this whole program out by letting you know that every one of you that's a Mormon is a liar. I thought, oh, Walter, I don't think you and I could take every one of these. We could take a few. I think we could get them. But I'm not sure you should have said that. And the place was silent. Well, I mean, And Mr. Martin said, now I know that you Christians are thinking that was a rude thing to say. And he says, now I wouldn't have used the word unless God's word said it first. And of course he opens his Bible up to the letter of 1 John and went from there. Unbelievable. You know something? You and me, not just people in that group that day, but you and me, us, we, if we walk in darkness and say that we have fellowship with God Almighty, we are liars. Because, see, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And that's what he means. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we are not doing the truth. We are living a lie. Not only are we lying at this moment, but our life is a lie. Man. Some people believe and teach that you can accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and then from that moment, go and live any kind of lifestyle you want to live. Because it's grace, and it is. So they teach that. Just eat, drink, be merry. The Gnostics, they believed that the body and the spirit were not connected anyway. Body and soul and spirit. They weren't connected. That's just sort of inside there somewhere bouncing around. And so they taught that you could live any lifestyle that you wanted with your body and it would not affect your spirit or your soul at all. And so they would—they were perverted. They were a mess. And that was a false teaching. But it's still taught today that you can go out and you're born again now. You just go out and watch anything you want, do anything you want. You live any way you want because it's grace and you just going out. Wait a minute. What does it mean to walk in darkness? God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is, and we don't do the truth. What does it mean to walk in darkness? Write down this word if you're taking notes, lifestyle. Lifestyle. It doesn't mean to sin. See, you and I are prone to wander. We are sinners who are saved by grace. And the battle between the flesh and the spirit is still continuing on in your life and in mine. Whether you will admit to it or not, it still continues on. And on a daily basis, you and I need to say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me your Holy Spirit, the strength to do the things that are right. Give me the ability to walk with you today. Even today, you say, well, you've been saved for 30 years. Right, and you still pray it. Lord, give me the strength that I might serve you today, that I might trust you today, that I might walk with you today. But there are many who teach the opposite. You see, walking in darkness is not a sin. We'll talk about if we confess it, how God handles that. Remember, this is written to Christians. Walking in darkness is a lifestyle, not just one sin, but a lifestyle of sin, making it your practice, making it your way of living on a daily basis. You and I cannot walk in darkness. If we do, we cannot have fellowship with God. Why? Because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if you say, I have fellowship with God, but you walk in darkness, He says you are a liar. Any of us would be liars who say that. Our lives, our lifestyles must change when we come to the Lord. We have excuses. Well, I'm doing this, it saves money. I'm doing this, it's a little more convenient. We're just helping out. Wait a minute. There is no darkness in God at all. You cannot have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. It cannot be your practice. It cannot be your lifestyle. Joshua, as an older man, challenged all of Israel. He said it to them this way, choose today, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then before anybody raises their hand or does anything, and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God. We will serve the Lord. Our choice is made. So we're going to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit in a certain way. Joshua says, we're going to walk in a certain lifestyle. Why? Because we're legalists? No. Because we choose this day to serve the Lord. And too many are saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And you're still robbing banks? Yeah, it's just something I can't quite get over. Wait a minute. You need to stop that. A lifestyle change. There is no darkness in the Lord. Young couple comes in and wants to get married. We're living together. All right, you need to stop that. Your lifestyle now needs to change and become into complete righteousness with the Lord. Oh, well, come on. You're getting a little far out now. So they go off and start their own churches and have their own reverends. And the reverend, and you see, you hear this, it always makes me wonder anyway when you see the reverend. And you got a woman's name out there, and you think, I don't know, man, I don't know. Something wrong with women, I like them. But I don't know, according to the Word of God, I think something's up here. They start their own ministries. People are starting their own ministries, right? What do you got to do? You know what you have to do to be a reverend, to be a pastor in the United States of America? Nothing. For $15, you send it off, and the International Ministerial Association sends you back an ordination certificate. That's what it takes to be a minister. $15. If you don't have it, someone will loan it to you. You can pay them back. Now you're a reverend too. You know what it takes to marry people and bury people in most every state in America now? If those people will let you marry them, the state will accept it. In most every state in the United States of America, if those people say, we want you to marry us, you go, well, okay. And you sign it, and the state says, cool. So you can see there's a lot of power in it. And so people go off and they start their church. They say, this is the lifestyle we want to live. We don't want to quit this lifestyle. So we'll go to a church where they say this lifestyle is okay. It's not a sin, it's a lifestyle choice. And there we go. John says, it doesn't work. Because if we say we have fellowship with the Lord, with God, with Him, and walk in darkness, we are liars and do not the truth. Elijah, the prophet of fire, Mount Carmel. I know you remember. Prophets of Baal, 450. There were more, but the 450 main. And Elijah says to the children of Israel, before he crushes these 450, he says, how long will you limp between two opinions? Between Baal and between the Lord God Almighty. If Baal be God, then serve him. If the Lord God, then serve him. But quit limping between two opinions. Make your mind up right now. Joshua said the same thing. Choose today who you will serve. Make it up now and go that way. Forever hold your peace. When you talk to people, how's it going, man? It's going terrible. I'm hitting the bars every night. I'm out of work and I'm... Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Well, quit it. Well, I'm bummed. So what? Get over it. You're unloving. Well, so what? You still get over it. And then they don't want to talk to you anymore. You're a Christian? Yeah. Then get right. Then right now, let's bow down. Let's get on. Let's pray. Let's just pray right now and get out of the bar. Stay away from them for the rest of your life. From tonight on, choose this day, this night, who you're going to serve. Who's it going to be? Well, I need to think about it. You need to think about it. Yeah, because I don't want to give up all that fun. Throwing up. Making yourself look like more of an idiot than you really are. On a regular basis, people taking advantage of you, stealing your money, people laughing at you. You're an absolute mess. You don't want to give that all up. Boy. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who's He talking to? He's writing to believers so that their joy can be full. What do you mean the blood of Jesus Christ? I'm saved. What are you talking about? Walk in the light, Christian. That's a lifestyle. That's an everyday walk with you and me. At work, at home, at school, wherever, even on vacation, Memorial Day. Walk in the light. Is what we're told. In righteousness. Just as the Lord Himself did. When Jesus was here on this planet, when His feet would walk the roads of Israel, you can go back and you can read your Gospels. They're not that long. Read them over and over again. Watch Him. Walk with Him. See how He walks. See how He talks. See how He deals with people. Jesus walked in the light. You see, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When you walk in the light, when your lifestyle is such. Now we're talking to born again people. You and me, we're born again, but what's your lifestyle like, Christian? What's it like? The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. You know why He puts that in there? Is He talking about you being born again again? No, you know what He's saying? Assurance. There is assurance. He's going to bring it up again later on. I want you to be assured of your own heart. Assurance. As you walk in obedience, as you walk in righteousness, there is an assurance. But you talk to people who are walking in disobedience. You'll say, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah. Are you sure? And they'll say, sometimes I'm not sure. I'm not sure God loves me. I'm not sure if I'm really going to go to heaven. You notice that somehow they've gotten out of the loop. What happens? There's no assurance in walking in the dark. There isn't. You see, you can't tell anything in the dark. Years ago, I was speaking at a high school junior high retreat up in right above, up in the mountains above Redding, California. And right after the retreat on the way back, we took the high schoolers, junior highers, and all the adults that were, we were all together in a bunch of vans. We stopped at these, I don't know what you call them, tunnels is what they were. They were lava tunnels deep in the earth. And we thought, that would be fun. Let's walk through them. The wind, you know, it's kind of cool. The breeze blows through and you go down in. And a couple of people had a flashlight. One lady, we really harassed her. Hers was this little skinny pink thing that was a key ring. That'll help. Don't blind me. Don't run the battery down, lady. Oh, we harassed that poor girl. Nice flashlight. Can you hold that up by yourself? I think it was about, you know, 2.5 inches long, skinny, little bitty pink. You turned it on, and if you covered it with your hands and your eyes, you go, yeah, there it is, got it. That'll work. She knew we were just teasing. You guys, about 40 of us, we went into these tunnels. As you go down deep, it is pitch black, so dark that you cannot see your hand right there. You can see nothing. It's kind of cool. Nothing. Get away from the entrance, and you take that corner. All light is gone. You're down now. You can see nothing. We got a few flashlights, and we got a group of 40 of us, and we decide this will be cool. Here's a lesson. Here's a lesson for all of us to see what it's like for non-believers. They walk in the dark. So we said, here's what we're going to do, everybody. We're going to turn these lights off, especially that powerful pink one. We're going to turn these off, and we're going to, with no light, walk to the end of these tunnels. Should just take us a couple of minutes. Just be careful. And now you'll see what it's like for a non-believer who walks in total pitch darkness. No light at all. And the kids didn't like it. Come on, no, really, turn the lights back on. No, we're going to do this. Just be careful. Hold hands if you want to. Keep an eye on each other. And we'll walk all the way. As you get within probably 50 yards of the other end, you'll start to see a little bit of light. You'll be fine. And so you hear them complaining. They're a little scared. And you know how, you ever see people in the dark? You ever turn the lights on and people are going, till the lights come on? What were they doing? Their eyes are open as wide as their eyes will go, trying to get all those rods and cones are freaking out, you know, and they're trying to get all this light in and there's nothing to get. And they have their hands out there and they walk funny. You could make movies with them. I don't know why we do that. We walk, but we don't take normal, just like, okay, we're cool. No, we go. Try it sometime. Turn the lights off and walk down the hall. And then have someone turn the lights on quick and get a camera. Well, I was with Adam Priggett, and I said, we better stay back here because we don't want to lose any of the children. I mean, you're in pitch black. You don't want to lose them. The fathers probably wouldn't care, but the mothers, they complain. A lot of dads go, that's all right, we'll get another one. That's fine. But, you know, the mothers, they get freaked. And so we thought, we better not lose any of the children. So, and some of them are young junior hires. So Adam and I stay back. We're next to one another. And we hear the kids going on. So I say, okay, Adam, let's just kind of walk slowly. So we don't want any of them to get around us. We don't want to lose any children. And so we're being very careful. We're walking slowly. I'm walking like this. And someone walks right into me. Boom! I thought, that's a person. It's a big person. That's a big person. Who are you? It's one of the high schoolers. It's Bill. Bill, what are you doing? What are you doing? You just hit me. Well, I'm headed for the entry, for the exit. Bill, you're going the wrong way, man. No, I'm not. Trust me. I haven't even gone 6 feet. You're going the wrong. No, I'm not. I'm headed. Now, somehow, man, in this pitch black, you have turned yourself around. You don't even know where you're going. Trust me. Turn around and head that way and be careful. He did not know. Somehow, and he's feeling around in the dark, trying to get around. He did not know he had completely turned around and walked right into us. I was kind of glad we stayed back, so we'd have lost this kid. And I turn him around, finally convince him he's going the wrong way, and he gets moving again because I can hear him go. And I say to Adam, I say, that's funny. He really thought he thought he was going there. He got all turned around. Isn't that funny? Adam, that's really, it's funny, man. I mean, isn't that funny? There's no Adam over there. He ain't around. And so I call him Adam. I would say, Adam. And I did ask, God said the same thing. Where are you? I knew it was scriptural right there. And I heard him. He must be 30, 40, 50 feet up. He goes, I'm not who? How did you do that? We're in charge, and I lost the guy that's in charge with me. It's so, you haven't got a clue. I said, you know, this isn't going to work, you guys. Turn a light on. And the kids were all, and Miss Pink flashlight. She turned that light on. And you could see everything with that tiny little. We all went, where's the light? It's easy to walk to it. Little bitty pink, funny looking thing that big. She held it up. And we walked with no trouble. You didn't have to do this. We just walked with that tiny little thing all the way until we got to Sunshine. So what's the point? There are many people today. Many. Who are walking in darkness. And they do not know where they're going. They'll run into you. You'll say, you're going the wrong way. No, I'm not. I'm headed for... No, you're not. You think you're headed for the exit. You think you're headed for the way out, but you're headed for trouble. You're going the wrong way. No, I'm not. Yes, somehow, man, you got turned around. Trust me. And as you witness to people, that's exactly what you're telling them, isn't it? Somehow, you got turned around. Trust me. You're going the wrong way. Heaven is that way. You are going the wrong... No, I'm not. I couldn't be. You're in the dark. You don't know. And you know that lady that we harassed, man, that little light, it was tiny outside, but you could see almost all 40 people. With that tiny little light, because it was so dark. You know what that says? That says you and me. As weak as we think our lights are today. As weak as we... I'm not much of a witness. I don't know, man. I don't know anything. I'm slow at it. You know, the children sing a song, and the adults ought to. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If you would just walk in the light... If your lifestyle would show yours and mine, just simply walking in God by the power of the Holy Spirit, others will be drawn to the light because they don't know where they're going. They're afraid. And any little bit of light they see, they'll be drawn to it. Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Lift up the name of Jesus. Walk in the light. Walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, this is how we do it. Do it God's way. Well, yeah, but it's cheaper. Don't worry about money. Do it God's way. Walk in the light. Do it all the way God says to do it. And you notice there's an assurance there. There's an assurance in your own heart. You know the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. You know it because you're simply, by His strength, walking with Him. But you are afraid if you've been disobedient and you're a little bit back out of the way. You're a little nervous. You don't know. Some say, you're going to heaven. You say, I don't know. I think I was once, but now I don't know. You've lost your assurance is what you've lost. You're drifting back into the dark. Is your lifestyle starting to go into the dark instead of the light? We can't be liars. I'm not talking about changing God's salvation. Salvation is a grace issue. It is grace. But once you belong to Jesus, do you really believe that you can go and do everything you want, anything you want, say, and do you really think that? And do you really believe that that's going to work for you? That you're going to say, I have fellowship with God, yet you're walking in complete darkness? You know, John says you're a liar. The blood of Jesus. His blood, Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. I was probably 25. And I was playing music. And when you play music, you work at night. In the bar rooms, you know. If you turn a light on in a bar room, all of us would crawl under something. If you lift up a rock out in the sunlight, you see all those little things crawl away. You know, that's what we were at night. You'd turn the lights on, everybody would just slither under something and hide. In the mornings, because I'm a morning person, the sun comes up, I have to. Just get up, get going. What are you going to do? Nothing. I don't know. I have nothing to do. You see, my work is at night. And the guys would sleep in because we'd get done at 3 in the morning. And of course, it was hard to get back down. When you scream rock and roll for 6 straight hours, you lay down, your head is buzzing. I mean, it's a mess. Things are going through that you should have said. Things are going through that you did say. Lyrics to songs just keep. Sometimes you can't sleep because it won't. It's like something has gone haywire and it continues to run and you can't stop it. So a lot of musicians, not just musicians, people of all that type will take drugs. And the drugs are designed to stop their head. Or you can't get any sleep. So they take drugs to get down. And then when you're that far down and you're kind of messed up, it's hard to get back over it. And so they'll take drugs to get back up. Pretty soon they're taking drugs to get down, drugs to get back up. And now they're hooked and they can't quit it. I was gifted. Praise God. I didn't need anything like that. A little caffeine every once in a while. So I'd get up and I'd go down to a Denny's there in my hometown. And these two old men, one of them in his middle 70s, they were old to me, remember I was 24, 25. One of them in his late 60s, they were there every day. Two pastors, old gentlemen. And the first time they saw me, I didn't know them, and they said, young man, and I've got long hair, nice little beard, long hair. I looked like I had slept in my clothes, but I hadn't slept. Just laid down in them. They said, come on over, sit with us. And I thought, well, that's nice of these old dudes. Little did I know. An ulterior motive. Going to try and save me, man. I was already saved. I'd sit with them. I'd drink coffee and they would drink tea. And they would just talk back and forth. Now, the picture, I wish I'd gotten a picture. I try to picture it now myself. You got this young fella every morning with these older gentlemen, and they sit and they discuss God. And they say, man, we were teaching from our text in 1 John this week, and man, the Lord spoke to my heart. And the other guy would say, that is so neat, you know, and we're going through the Gospels right now, or we're going through the book of Exodus. And I would just look back and forth and listen to them and watch them and get more coffee, and they would just do their tea. And for hours, they would just sit and they'd say, what do you think? But I don't know. And I would just listen, and I was learning. I just didn't know it. Every day. I'm sure people must have thought, that's just the oddest. That's an odd couple of people there. Those two old guys who only just talk to each other about the Lord, anybody that been a waitress. And they got this young kid here. He just sits with them. I was sitting with them one morning, and we had been doing this. Now, I felt like I belonged. Every once in a while, I'd even ask a question or throw in what I thought. And, you know, they never said, you get a haircut. You know, you need to clean up your act, man. Why don't you shave that face? And why don't you get it together? No, those guys never mentioned my hair. I expected them to. They never did. They'd just say, how's it going? I'd say, going pretty good. How did work go last night? I'd say, really good. There were a lot of people. It was a lot of fun. They never said, get out of those bars, you loser. You waste of God's time. And no, they never did that to me. They just said, well, come on, get your coffee and sit down. They never condemned me for what I did. They never asked what was in my heart, why I was doing it. You know, they just said, sit with us. And they talked about the Lord. And I was learning. I just didn't know it. One morning, a third pastor came in. I recognized him as a pastor because I'd seen his picture in the paper a few times. And he stopped at their table because pastors, no pastors, something's like, you know, it's like cops, no cops, you know. They just, there's this radar thing. They know. He comes walking over and he says, he calls them by names and they're talking. And they say, sit down with us. And so now there's these three old pastors and me. And one of them said, man, we were talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, how the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The blood, there's nothing but the blood. There's power in the blood. And they're quoting from songs and quoting from scripture. I didn't know that at the time. And the one pastor looks at these two and says, I don't know what you're talking about. They said, you know, the blood, Jesus shedding. And he says, and the pastor says, tell me more about this blood of Jesus that you're talking about. This is a pastor. They proceeded to tell him how the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross for our sins. He didn't know. Maybe he paid his 15 bucks, got his little piece of paper, and never had to bother. I don't know. But he didn't know. He says, this is interesting. I think they led him to the Lord right there at the table. Good. You know, God will save pastors. I don't see why he wouldn't. He saves everybody else. He could save a pastor. And I think he did. I think that guy was born again. That guy went back and started teaching from the Bible. To have fellowship with each other. To have fellowship with the Lord. First, you must be born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, living a lifestyle that is in the light. There are areas where you and I are probably doing fine. And then there are some areas where you and I could take a look at it and see, is this really in the light? Is this really what I ought to be doing? Is my light shining so that others can see? Because salvation is by grace. But you know something? Once we're saved, truly saved, haven't you noticed the Holy Spirit has put a desire in your heart to grow? Notice that. I want to grow. You can try programs. You can try groups. You can try a lot of things. But you find sooner or later, it's God's Word. Fellowship with people who really want to be around God and His Word, who want to just talk about the Lord, not each other, who want to talk. He's sitting there having a cup of coffee with two old guys who just want to talk about Jesus. They could have fought because one of them was Pentecostal and one of them wasn't. I mean, they could have really gotten into some debates, and that would have been fun for me, but it wouldn't have grown me any. Notice? And I think they knew it. They probably, before I got there, said, we'll fight some other time. But when the kid comes, because they called me the kid. Never called me by my name. Come on, kid. Sit down, kid. I think they knew my name, but call me the kid. When the kid comes, we can't be discussing this, all this stuff. We got to talk about Jesus. You notice, Christian, when you talk about Jesus, people are interested. When you talk about all the peripheries and want to start fighting over this, that, then people try to take sides. They say, that's why I don't like church. It's just, when you raise up Jesus, Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Well, we're finished. Let me read the verses that we covered. This then is the message which we have heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's bow our heads.